QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL ARRL audio e-letter for March 16, 2011. The snail mail address for the ARRL is 225 Main Street in Newington, Connecticut, zip code 06111. You may call the ARRL headquarters for assistance with any amateur radio concerns, whether you are an ARRL member or not. The number is 1-860-594-0200. The ARRL Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the ARRL E-Letter, which is compiled and edited by Rick Palm, K1CE. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and my script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. The ARRL E-Letter is available online at www.arrl.org/ARES-EL. Or you may listen to the audio version at www.arrl.org/ARES-E-letter-audio-version. Now the ARRL E-Letter News. Japan earthquake. We've all seen the horrific images of the devastation in Japan. Our hearts go out to the people of that country in their time of dire need. If you would like information on the amateur radio response, we have a web address for you. The address is very complicated, so I will say it twice. Contained in the web address is the following message: Japan asks radio amateurs to keep frequencies clear as country goes into recovery mode after, and then the partial word, devastation, DEVASTA. So here's the web address: www.arrl.org/news/japan-asks-radio-amateurs-2, that's T-O, dash keep dash frequencies dash clear dash as dash country dash goes dash into dash recovery dash mode dash after dash DEVASTA. That's a long web address, and let me give it to you again: www.arrl.org/news/japan-asks-radio-amateurs-2-keep-frequencies-clear-as-country-goes-into-recovery-mode-after-DEVASTA. This issue of the Audio ARRL E-Letter includes Japan earthquake, which you just heard, 2011 National Hurricane Conference amateur radio activities, Twitter, other methodologies for ARRL alerting, N5FDL, 10 surefire ways to grow your ARRL group, Spectrum Management Bill threatens amateur frequencies, celebrated Tampa Bay Area EM retires, Northern Florida adds DRAT reflector, Help Wanted, training topics for N5FDL, ARRL E-Letter now in audio form, ARRL MCOM survey, and K1CE for a final. Now, before we begin, let's pause for a few seconds to allow repeater stations to identify themselves. This is the ARRL Audio ARRL E-Letter. Welcome back to the ARRL Audio ARRL E-Letter. 2011 National Hurricane Conference Amateur Radio Activities. The National Hurricane Conference will be held from April 18th through April 22nd at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Atlanta, Georgia. There will be several amateur radio activities going on during the week. The National Hurricane Conference leadership recognizes the valuable contribution of amateur radio and has again invited us to participate with two sessions. This is always a great opportunity for amateur radio. On Monday, April 18th, the main amateur radio session, titled Amateur Radio Training Sessions, Disaster Communications Before, During, and After Hurricanes, will be held from 1:30 until 5 p.m. On Tuesday, April 19th, an amateur radio session designed for emergency management agencies, titled Amateur Radio Wrap Session, The Emergency Manager's Hidden Resource, will take place from 8 until 10 a.m. All radio amateurs are invited at no cost to attend these National Hurricane Conference amateur radio sessions. On Monday evening, April 18th, the ARRL Southeastern Division, the Georgia Tech Amateur Radio Club, the Atlanta Radio Club, and several local ARES groups will host an interactive, free NHC workshop for ARES and other interested amateur radio operators. That event goes from 7 until 9 p.m. Participants will be able to meet other like-minded radio amateurs and the presenters of the Hurricane Conference amateur radio sessions. The agenda includes introductions, a survey of the NHC amateur radio presentations, emergency communications discussion, questions and answers, and door prizes. Whether or not you are able to attend the conference during the day, you are invited to this event to hear from and meet the conference presenters and learn what went on at the conference. This workshop will be held on Georgia Tech's campus at Building 167, the Molecular Science and Engineering Building, in room G11. You may view the campus map at http://gtalumni.org/map. For additional information, see www.hurricanemeeting.com/documents/2011/NHC/brochure.pdf or www.southeastern.arrl.org/NHC_events_flyer2011.pdf or www.southeastern.arrl.org. The Hurricane Conference presenters are Julio Ripoll, WD4R, Amateur Radio Assistant Coordinator, National Hurricane Center, WX4NHC, John McHugh, K4AG, Coordinator for Amateur Radio, National Hurricane Center, WX4NHC, Rob Basido, KD1CY, Director of Operations for the VOIP Hurricane Net, and ARRL Section Emergency Coordinator for Eastern Massachusetts, Dennis Dura, K2DCD, Assistant Director of Operations for the VOIP Hurricane Net, and Greg Surratt, W4OZK, ARRL Southeastern Division Director. We encourage you to visit all the activities you can, learn more about amateur radio emergency communications, and meet the people doing it. We hope to see you there. This from Greg Surratt, W4OZK, ARRL Southeastern Division Director, and Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, ARRL Southeastern Division Vice Director. We pause now to allow our stations to identify themselves. This is the ARRL Audio ARES e-letter. Welcome back to the ARRL Audio ARES e-letter. Twitter, Other Methodologies for Aries Alerting. South Carolina. Greenville County, South Carolina Aries has been using Twitter for group alerts for a couple of years. County EC Johnny Allison, WD4DYH, and I set up a Greenville Aries account on Twitter for this purpose only. There are a few things that must be done for this to work. Your group user must not follow any other user, so only your posts are on the account's page. Anyone interested in getting the alerts from your group on their cell phone or other mobile device must set up a Twitter account and follow your Aries group. In the Twitter setup, there is a mobile option that allows you to receive alerts on your mobile device. You can turn this feature on or off for the entire account, or you can select which users you are following whose posts will be forwarded to your mobile messaging. In my case, my wife's posts and the Aries group posts are the only ones I elected to forward to my phone. The options on the mobile tab are self-explanatory. We run a test on the first of every month to make sure the group is receiving the alerts. So far, each time we have needed it for real alerts, it has worked. Most alerts instruct the group to turn to our local 2-meter repeater, since you can't give a lot of info in 140 characters. We do have a fairly small group, but anyone can follow at @GreenvilleAries to see how we operate it. This from Robert Martin, WA4HRK, Easley, South Carolina, Greenville, Aries. Other alerting methodologies. While Twitter is certainly the easiest of the social networks to use, it is not the only thing going. Benefits of Twitter include no smartphone required. One simple short message service, or SMS, to the team, and the world could be retrieved by tracking key words, such as #Altus. Google Latitude is great for tracking operators around the field, like APRS, but with very limited messaging capability. I like Foursquare because you can notify only your friends, or your friends and Twitterland, or no one when you update. I also use LoopT for messaging and tracking some of my family. You can use it, like Foursquare, without setting up Twitter accounts. LoopT also works with Facebook. Facebook, while I've had concerns about their ability to keep my data secure, offers private pages that only members can join. Our Skywarn group here has a Skywarn page. Search Altus Skywarn. You may set up an email list on Yahoo Groups or Google Groups and have the user subscribe, then let them decide how they want to get their information, for example, by email and or text to phone. One email goes to all 60 of our subscribers, and it's free of charge. If you do this, have more than one moderator. While the user can change their own information, my experience shows that some won't. One caveat to social media is, if the team is using it, the team must set up one account for team use and another account for personal use. In other words, the team must decide what service to use and then strictly use only it. When I started posting personal stuff on the team account, it quickly reduced the benefit. I have used Calling Post, a prepaid service good for small groups. The benefit for small groups is that their pricing is under $25 for 200 calls. The detractor is, there's no way to call out from midnight to 6 in the morning. As a volunteer, I have experienced only 3 times in 10 years when that was a problem. You may register online and use the referral code 800-219-7092 for 10 free calls. The referral code is the same as their toll-free number, and I'll repeat it. 800-219-7092. The city of Altus uses Blackboard Connect. If the Aries group would contact their local emergency management office, it may be possible to piggyback on the city or county user's account. Blackboard may offer a competitive product for small groups. You may contact them at 800-213-7168. That's 800-213-7168. Thanks to Lloyd Colston, KC5FM, Director, Altus Emergency Management, Altus, Oklahoma, for this information. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter. Continuing with the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter, N5FDL has 10 surefire ways to grow your Aries group. This month, he says, I'll share some simple ideas for growing your Aries group. You can probably implement most or all of them. Location. Having a great location is one of the keys to success of Aries groups. Among the most important things a served agency can provide to your group is a place to hold meetings and events. Finding places to do things was the most difficult part of getting our group started. Now that we are established, it isn't a problem, but we are careful to provide special support to groups that support our program by providing meeting locations. Dinner meetings. If you haven't considered holding dinner meetings, you should. I was initially reluctant because of the expense to members. I didn't want anyone to avoid our meetings because they couldn't afford an expensive meal or would be unable to find something to eat at the restaurant I chose. One way to handle this is to separate meal time from program time, or select a restaurant that is okay with someone just ordering a cup of coffee. This has not turned out to be a problem. Dinner meetings can keep groups alive when non-dinner meetings will not. Ham crams. Creating new, emergency-minded hams may be the best way to grow your group and goes hand in hand with the next item. One day licensing classes don't teach someone how to be a ham, but the license makes someone trainable and worth investing in. Make friends. I am a big proponent of linking Aries to CERT groups, church emergency preparedness, scouts, and anyone else who we can help get a license. I don't expect these people to become ham-first volunteers, but they add significantly to the number of trained people we can call upon, and some really do get interested in ham radio as a primary hobby. Don't say no to people who want to make you look good. If someone has an idea that will make your Aries group look good, by all means, let them. Good judgment matters. The person has to actually be able to deliver, but make it known you are open to good ideas that aren't your own, and then bask in the glow of their success. This is where future leaders come from. Be more than just an Aries group. I am led to believe that there is more to ham radio than emergency stuff. We've licensed a lot of ham cram folks, and it is a fair complaint that we don't teach them enough radio. So I've developed events that combine emergency training with other ham activities, like antennas, DXing, and contesting. Stay in touch. I use a variety of tools to keep in touch with our members, would-be members, inactive members, area clubs, and other groups. I have websites, www.sjham.com and www.n5fdl.com, multiple free Yahoo groups, and have recently begun using a mailing service to distribute newsletters. I am using www.madmimi.com, that's M-A-D-M-I-M-I, though www.mailchimp.com looks like a good option and offers small mailings for free and a discount for nonprofits, including Aries groups. All of the above handle subscriptions and unsubscriptions automatically. Do something. Now this seems obvious, but the more you do, the more involved your members will be, and the more people you will be exposed to. You will probably have to invest in some small events before attendance picks up. accept the fact that it may be only you and three friends to begin with, but consistency leads to growth. Take advantage of opportunities that present themselves to tie in with other people's events and turn them into your own. Field trips to events in nearby cities are an opportunity to involve your members. Training offered by other groups, such as ICS classes, are another opportunity. Watch for inflection points. This is when your program reaches critical mass. That presents opportunities to do things that were not possible previously, such as adding served agencies or new programs. This deserves more discussion in a future post. Just be aware when the next big thing becomes possible. Think big. This isn't a growth strategy per se, but it is often much easier to hold on to an existing member or re-energize an inactive one than to bring someone totally new into your group. Interest ebbs and flows. Accept this, but always remain in touch so that when someone's interest returns, you're ready to welcome him or her back. How have you grown your group? Let me hear from you. Email me at n5fdl@arrl.net. Visit my blog at n5fdl.com. The above from David Kersey, N5FDL, San Joaquin County, California, EC. We pause now to allow for station identification. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter. Welcome back to the Audio Aries e-letter. Spectrum Management Bill Threatens Amateur Frequencies. On February 10th, Representative Peter King, a Republican from New York District 3 and chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, introduced H.R. 607, the Broadband for First Responders Act of 2011. The bill has been referred to the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which handles telecommunications legislation. H.R. 607 addresses certain spectrum management issues, including the creation and maintenance of a nationwide public safety broadband network. As part of that network, the bill provides for the allocation of the so-called D block of spectrum in the 700 MHz range for public safety use. The D block consists of two 5 MHz wide segments of spectrum that became available when the FCC ended analog television broadcasts in June 2009 and reallocated some television frequencies for public safety and commercial broadband. It was anticipated that the D block would be auctioned for commercial use. There are several bills in Congress providing for the allocation of the D block for public safety use, and H.R. 607 is one of those. But H.R. 607 uniquely provides for the reallocation of other spectrum for auction to commercial users. This would offset the loss of revenue that would occur as the result of the allocation of the D block to public safety instead of commercial auction. H.R. 607 lists the paired bands of 420 MHz to 440 MHz and 450 to 470 MHz among the bands to be reallocated for commercial auction within 10 years of its passage. You may find more information at www.arrl.org/news/spectrum-management-bill-threatens-amateur-frequencies. Repeating that, www.arrl.org/news/spectrum-management-bill-threatens-amateur-frequencies. Celebrated Tampa Bay Area EM retires. Larry Gispert, KR4X, recently retired as the Director of Emergency Management for the County of Hillsborough, Florida, in the Tampa Bay area. His contributions have seen him take on leadership positions in regional, state, and national emergency management organizations. He has been a presenter at major national conferences around the country and in Washington, D.C. The Hillsborough Board of County Commissioners recently presented Gispert with a proclamation for his work. He was commended for his straight-talk approach when dealing with emergency management issues. The local media regarded him as a jewel for real information. When the local world seemed becoming apart, Gispert could always be relied upon to be the calm in the storm. Gispert's 4 years as a radio man in the U.S. Coast Guard made him an avid CW operator. He is a member of the Radio Association of North Tampa and the Tampa Amateur Radio Club. Professionally, Gispert had fully integrated amateur radio into all aspects of the EOC's operations. He was in the vanguard of implementing digital emergency radio networks in Florida. In retirement, Gispert intends to remain radioactive, operating and experimenting. Thanks to Pete Kemp, KZ1Z, in Wesley Chapel, Florida, for this information. Northern Florida adds DRAT reflector. A new DRAT reflector has been added to the digital emergency communications assets of the ARRL Northern Florida section. Section Manager Paul Eakin, KJ4G, reports, "We are happy to announce that in Tallahassee, a team of amateurs has installed the DRAT reflector for ARES use in emergencies and general amateur use at all other times. The new system is set up for use on the Internet and over the air on the K4WAK D-Star repeater. The asset provides both mobile and Internet operators with the ability to communicate among one another along with the Florida State EOC station. In the next few weeks, an email function will be established to coincide with WinLink 2000 systems for both mobile operators and Internet users. The file transfer function is available now. Two servers were installed, one being made public, and a backup that can be activated if needed. The Florida EOC is equipped to handle full-time service both on the local D-Star repeater and on the Internet with local ARES volunteers. This system augments other data assets in the northern part of the state, APRS, Sedan, and W2K. The multi-server system is being made available to all three ARRL sections in Florida and to neighbors in Georgia and Alabama for mutual assistance planning and operations. In an emergency, any section or district outside of the three states can notify the administrator of their needs and use the reflector. Eakin thanked the Florida State EOC staff for their support and contributions to this project, as well as others who have made it possible. Special thanks went to Dan Smith, KK7DS, for his hard work in the design and implementation of this service. This is the ARRL Audio ARES e-letter. We pause now to allow for station identification. Now back to the ARRL Audio ARES e-letter. ARES e-letter now in audio form. The ARES e-letter is now available in audio form. So far, there are three editions currently available online. The audio version of the ARES e-letter is edited for audio by Al Brown, KZ3AB, and voiced by, yours truly, Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Brown was first licensed in 1966. He was a member of the White House Press Corps before retiring from the International Broadcasting Bureau and the Voice of America. I was licensed in 1955 and have worked in both commercial and public broadcasting. I retired after 21 years of service as a staff announcer and news anchor with the Voice of America. With more than 35,000 subscribers, the ARES e-letter is written by Rick Palm, K1CE, and is published each month. ARES MCOM Survey. The first ARES MCOM survey from last month's ARES e-letter has garnered nearly 900 responses. This particular survey is still open. If you haven't checked it out yet, please access the poll by clicking www.arrl.org/aries-monthly-poll. ARRL headquarters will be reporting the results soon. And now, K1CE for a final. It's T-minus 3 months and counting to the launch of hurricane season. Nuff said. 73, Rick, K1CE in Flagler County, Florida. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for March 16, 2011. The Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and edited by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit arrl.org on the World Wide Web. The snail mail address for the ARRL is 225 Main Street in Newington, Connecticut, zip code 06111. You may call the ARRL headquarters for assistance with any amateur radio concerns, whether you are an ARRL member or not, at 1-860-594-0200. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Copyright 2011, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.